Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from Southern California an old friend. I've known Ed Griffin for 43 long years. Ed Griffin, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Stan. Has it been that long?
It's been that long. At my house, 1962, December of 1962, when we first met, and I will never forget that evening as long as I live.
Well, I hope it was a favorable impression.
It really was.
That wasn't the day I tripped in my shoelaces and fell, was it?
No. Anyway, of course, we were going to be talking this evening about FEMA. And a lot of people are critical of FEMA, that the way they handle things down there in New Orleans, but Ed has a different take on it. He thinks that they did exactly what they were supposed to. I mean, after all, when the people wanted to bring in boats to rescue people, they wouldn't let them in. When Walmart and other people wanted to deliver supplies, they wouldn't let the supplies in. You know, when the Coast Guard wanted to deliver diesel fuel, they wouldn't allow the diesel fuel to come in. FEMA employees went over and cut the communications in Jefferson Parish to create chaos there, to hope that the people would pick up and leave. And of course, the sheriff went over there with armed personnel and said, if anybody tries to cut the communications lines again, shoot them. And of course, that's the only way they were able to keep FEMA from doing their job. Ed has written a wonderful treatise on this. Ed, pick up the story from there.
Well, thanks, Stan. You've got half of it already in place. There has been a lot of material circulating on the Internet, as you know, about New Orleans, and, of course, most of it is very, very critical of our government action. And one of the things that came through about 3 weeks ago was a whole string of headlines touching on the very issues that you were discussing. I've collected 22 of the major ones, major stories, where FEMA and Homeland Security were actually actively involved in preventing rescue operations. And there were so many of these cases, and they were so similar in nature, that one cannot conclude that this was an accident or an exception or a result of some bureaucratic snafu. There's a definite pattern there. And it got me to thinking, is it possible that these people were actually trying to kill American citizens? Were they actually trying to make the situation worse for some Machiavellian reason? And I pondered about that for a while, and then finally it dawned on me that no, this is what government does. Government is designed to, it's kind of like a person. It has a self-survival instinct, and the first law of government is to protect itself, not to protect its citizens, but to protect itself. And I put that in place, and I wondered if that would explain how these actions were taking place. And by golly, it did explain an awful lot, Stan.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Ed Griffin as we begin to develop this whole idea. Why would FEMA have done such a poor job? Of course, Michael Brown says it wasn't my fault. We weren't supposed to coordinate anything. We were just supposed to, just to be there, sort of a helping hand. It was really all the mayor, and it was the governor. And I believe there's a lot of blame to go around, a lot of places. But I think FEMA really, of course, dropped the ball. And what's the solution? Why, now the government, the president has said he wants the government to move in immediately if there's a catastrophe and control everything with the military. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, our guest this afternoon is Ed Griffin, who I've known for 43 years now, and Ed has written a treatise, you'll find it up on the internet, talking about what happened in New Orleans and FEMA's response. And, of course, as we commented just a moment ago, there were so many things they did that rather than try to help the people, they did everything to disrupt the situation, cutting the communication lines over in the Jefferson Parish so that the police couldn't coordinate with the fire department and the other government agencies. Why would you do something like that? And it had not been for the sheriffs there, Tommy Lee, who went in, with armed officers and said, shoot anybody who tries to disrupt this again. And they hooked up the communications lines so they could communicate to try to deal with the emergency. I've asked Ed to go ahead and pick up the story. He says he's analyzed something, 22 things that FEMA did that were wrong, and he believes they're just sort of doing it because, well, that's what government does. It sort of wants to perpetuate itself. And so pick up the story there, Ed.
Yeah, you said a moment ago, Stan, that you thought that FEMA had dropped the ball, and that's pretty much the theme that you see in the media. Everybody's saying FEMA failed, FEMA dropped the ball, FEMA should have done better. But you have to realize, what is FEMA there to do? It's there not to help people, but to control people. The purpose of FEMA is to take charge, to close down anything that's not under its control, is to make sure that the government functions correctly under a time of crisis. That's its primary mission. Its primary mission is not to help people. And that's the thing that I think we've all missed, is we thought that FEMA's job was to go in there and help people, and that's not what the people at FEMA have been trained to do. That's a secondary thing. They're trained to go in there and take over industry, to take over banking, to install martial law, to take people out of their homes, to put them into internment camps, to move them from one place to another, to feed them, to keep them alive, put them behind barbed wires, tell them what jobs they're supposed to do. They're there to control and convert the area that's in crisis into a little police state. That's what their training is for, and you know, that is what they did. So that's why I took this little off-the-wall approach by saying FEMA did a great job. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. Now, of course, there's another element in there. It's perhaps not as sinister as the picture I just painted. The fact that government agencies and leaders always are looking for a crisis, because that makes them shine. That's their reason for being. If there's a crisis and people need help, the politicians and the bureaucrats immediately get in front of a television.
Hold that thought right there. Hold that thought right. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and so Ed Griffin is just saying that he thinks the purpose of FEMA is to control people, and when there's an emergency, they're there to be in control and there to, to force people to do what they're told to, and if necessary, put them into concentration camps and to take over control of the government. FEMA is there to make sure that the government structure remains intact. It's not there to protect our freedom, or only secondarily to help the people. And then he was talking about how the politicians just love to be in the limelight, and FEMA gives them an opportunity to be in the limelight. And of course, you end up like poor old Michael Brown, who I think, of course, maybe is a... Well, what are your thoughts on Michael Brown? What are your thoughts about the way this thing was handled as far as our government officials was concerned? The mayor, the governor of Louisiana, and similar...
Well, I think all of the politicians performed as you would expect politicians to perform. And that is that as long as they're looking good, they're standing up there and taking credit for it. If anything goes right, they're responsible for it. If anything goes bad, well, it wasn't their job. You know, that's what politicians do. And that's, in fact, what people in the corporate world tend to do, too. Everybody in a structure where their jobs are somewhat political in nature, they have to look good in order to have the job. And so when you have a crisis, politicians always are trying to get camera time. They spend more time with the media than they do directing rescue operations or anything else, because their job is to look good. And so corollary to that is that if you're trying to look good in a rescue operation, you don't want some private agency coming in and sending in water or diesel fuel or buses or rescue operations. You want the credit for that. And so you keep all these other people out of the limelight, keep them out of the operation. And we saw a lot of that in New Orleans. It wasn't because government structures failed. It's because government structures succeeded in doing what government structures are designed to do. And that was the point that I was trying to make in my little editorial on the Internet.
Well, why don't you just go through the editorial on the Internet and all the things that the FEMA did that they really were totally counterproductive?
Well, yes. I mentioned a moment ago that I pulled off the Internet 22 classic cases. There were many more than that, but there comes a point where you just don't want to read anymore. I just read the headlines to you. Here's the first one on August 29. FEMA tells first responders not to respond.
Right.
Okay. The next one on August 29, FEMA won't accept Amtrak's help in evacuations. The next one on September 1st, offer of helicopters for rescue work is rejected.
I think it's so important that why were we paying expensive plane fares for people when Amtrak could have taken them away, and Amtrak was there and quite willing to take the people to other areas. And FEMA turned them down.
That's because Amtrak was not part of the FEMA operation, you see.
Right, and
Amtrak would get credit for that, and not FEMA. And that's what I was saying a moment ago. It wasn't part of their show.
And, of course, first responders, people wanted to come and they wanted to help. I mean, firemen wanted to come and help.
Yeah.
And so they sent them off to take a course on sex discrimination.
And how to pass out brochures and so on. Anyway, this list goes on. FEMA blocks 500 Florida airboat pilots from rescue work.
And that would have saved the people off the roofs. And then they could have had the helicopters repair the levees. Instead, they took the helicopters away from repairing the levees to rescue the people off the roofs because they didn't have any means of getting them off. Well, I would think boats would be a lot better and a lot safer than winching people up
pulleys. Remember, their job is not to save people.
Right. but it sure looked good on television, didn't it?
It sure looked good on television, right. FEMA to Chicago. Chicago wanted to send a whole bunch of water trucks and fire trucks, and they said, well, just send one truck, please. Everything else is under control, they said. FEMA turns back volunteer sheriff deputies and medical team. FEMA bars morticians from entering New Orleans. Pentagon says military mission to New Orleans is combat, not rescue. They came right out and said it. FEMA blocks 500-boat citizen flotilla from delivering aid. Homeland Security won't let Red Cross deliver food. Military turns back flood survivors trying to leave the city.
And I think that's really such an important thing. The people could have walked out of the convention center. They could have walked out. They would have had to wade through some water, but they could have walked away from the Superdome, and they weren't allowed to. This is what's so incredible.
Well, they turned back and held at gunpoint and locked up in the Superdome.
I mean, it doesn't make sense if you're trying to help people.
If you're trying to help people, and that's what we keep coming back. That was not their mission.
Right.
FEMA fails to utilize Navy ship with 600-bed hospital on board. FEMA cuts local emergency communication phone lines.
And why would you cut the phone lines to create? Because that would create chaos, and that's where Tommy Smith, I think it was Tommy Lee, of course, the sheriff, went in with armed officers to fight off the FEMA, and just to say, if they try to cut the phone lines again, shoot them.
Well, the answer is, we keep coming back to it, is that the federal agencies did not want the local law enforcement people getting credit for the rescue operation.
Right.
They wanted them out of the picture. FEMA's job was to take control, not to rescue people. And once we hold that thought in mind, then all of this makes sense. FEMA turns away experienced firefighters. FEMA turns back Walmart supply trucks. FEMA prevents Coast Guard from delivering diesel fuel. Navy pilots who rescued victims are reprimanded by their commanders. U.S. government turns back German plane with 15 tons of aid. FEMA officials forbid stores from reopening. Sheriff defies their order and threatens to arrest them. FEMA declines volunteer firemen for rescue operation, uses them to distribute public relations pamphlets. FEMA orders doctors to stop treating hurricane victims. FEMA ignores offer of buses for evacuation of New Orleans, and so forth. Those are the 22 headlines that I pulled off, and they tell quite a revealing story.
And I think it's really so important, but because of the chaos that developed there, because of government interference, the president now has come forward and made the recommendation that if there is another emergency, the military should immediately move in. Now, the military is saying, look, I mean, we're designed for combat. We're not designed for police work or, you know, for this sort of support work. We'd have to completely retrain our troops for that. But that's what the president has said. He wants them to come in with their rifles blazing and take control. And the military, Pentagon people are saying, we don't want to do that. But, of course, the president is very powerful. And the president has saw the total chaos that existed there, and he wants to send the military in immediately. But the question is, would we have had the chaos if FEMA hadn't been there?
Well, of course, that's hard to say. I personally feel that there would have been chaos in a situation like that, but a lot less than there was.
Well, of course, I mean, certainly things seem to work very, very well over in Mississippi, and there was total devastation there. I mean, literally thousands of people lost their homes. But you didn't see the chaos that you saw in New Orleans.
Right. Well, yeah, I think there's plenty of blame to go around. I think it was a combination of over-bloated government trying to take charge of everything and keeping everybody else at bay. And at the same time, I think the local people there had probably not taken the precautions they should have, because after all, they were led to believe that the government would take care of them. I think this is, now we're talking about a larger problem. Too many of us, even the comfort of our own homes here in California, where we're not threatened by anything like that, we keep thinking, well, you know, if anything really happens, the government will take care of us. We don't have to worry about it. How many people here in the earthquake zones, for example, really have a reserve of water in their homes? How many people have those flashlights ready to go and those extra food stores put aside? I don't think very many. Why? Because, oh, well, the government will take care of us, won't they? Won't it? So it's kind of a mindset, I think, that has settled into our collectivist nation.
But, of course, it never used to be that way, Ed.
No,
at one time,
did.
We used to be individualists. We used to be resourceful. We didn't want to look to the government because we always had a feeling government was going to let us down. And yet, of course, in the last 30 or 40 years, there's been a total change in the mindset of our people. As you know, two generations of young people have been funneled through government schools and come to believe that the government can solve all of our problems.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, I have to admit, too, Stan, that people in our generation are somewhat the same way. A lot of my friends here in this neighborhood where we live, they're mostly older people. There's no preparation here, except from a few of us weirdos, you know.
Well, of course, the people who listen to our programs, hopefully, are making the preparations, and they have the water supplies and the means to filter water and the food and the other things that they're going to need to look after themselves. And to the credit of Maria Shriver, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife, why, she's actually been on television saying, prepare, prepare, prepare. It's really a fascinating thing. I've never seen anything like it before. And although, as you could probably suspect, Arnold Schwarzenegger is not one of my favorite people, because of his internationalist ties to the international power structure, I will give them credit. I think they're doing a great job at least telling people, begin to prepare for something. Maybe they know something that we don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody knows that there are crises potentially ahead of us. I remember talking to some farmers up in the northern part of Michigan. I was raised in Michigan. And as a boy, I remember one of them saying, you know, we don't know when the big cold winter is coming. We don't know what year it's coming, but we know it's coming, and so they prepare for it.
Right. And I think that one of our pleas to our people who listen to our programs is make your preparations. Get the list up on the Internet, or you can get them to our ministry, and begin preparing, because if we were to have, here in California, a major earthquake, because that is certainly the thing that we would have to be concerned about, I don't think we can necessarily look to government. Could you imagine what would happen if 30 million people tried to, you know, exit the Los Angeles basin? You'd think it was bad getting out of Houston. You didn't see anything yet. We're going to be back with Ed Griffin here in a few minutes, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And it's well worthwhile getting Ed's article. That's Ed Griffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N. That's G. Edward Griffin. G. Edward Griffin. Look him up on the Google. Pull his article down and read it through. I think it's a very, very important one. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're talking about what happened in New Orleans. And as you read the story, there are just so many imponderables. Why did the levees break a number of hours after the storm had passed? You could understand if there were, you know, great waves when the storm surge hit, or you know, when the winds were there, but it didn't occur then. It occurred many hours afterwards, and the streets had already begun to dry, and everybody thought everything was all right. And then not just one location, but two locations of the levees gave way. And then it would seem that, of course, they could have moved right in to start repairing the levees, but instead of doing that, they turned away the boats. And then they used the helicopters that, instead of repairing the levees, were then, of course, getting people off the roofs because they didn't have any boats to take the people off. Lots of unanswered questions. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. And again, our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to Ed Griffin, 1-888 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Mike, did you have a question?
Well, I was listening real hard. I thought we were going to hear about why the levees broke.
Oh, well, but we don't know, and that's not what Ed addressed. He just addressed why the FEMA would do what it did, and as he pointed out, the purpose of FEMA is not to rescue people. It's to control law and order, control the people. Would that be a fair statement, Ed?
Yes, I think that's accurate.
All right, fine. Mike,
just a couple of things real quick. I wanted to ask Ed about the current government structure or the chain of command regarding FEMA, and isn't it now under Homeland Security, which is in turn under the executive branch?
I believe that's correct, yes.
And so can we say George Bush is responsible for this?
No, I don't think he really can, because he can't really even come in until he's asked to, my understanding, asked in by the governor. Would that be accurate, Ed?
Well, I think that used to be accurate. I think that today all bets are off on who can do what. Mr. Bush doesn't really wait for Congress to declare law. to declare war. I don't know why he would wait for governors to... send in the military.
I think at one time, Mike, why we had a constitutional republic, when I met George Bush and talked to him, he didn't understand our Constitution. We asked him if he'd signed a piece of legislation that wasn't unconstitutional. His reply was, I don't understand the question. So yeah. I think we should not be surprised at the fact he does all sorts of things that aren't constitutional, and if it meant that he was going to have to send people in or the military in, if he wants to do it, why, he seems to be above the law, and everybody in Congress is afraid of him. After all, if you speak out, why, they'll come after you and they'll make your life miserable. As one of the managers in the House said, for the captive vote, I'm going to twist arms of the congressmen till they break into 1,000 pieces, and they're going to vote for CAFTA. And you know, they did. They won by, well, 2 votes, I think. Of course, it cost them $50 billion of our own money that they used for bribes, but they got the arms twisted.
And the hospitals were full of broken-armed congressmen, right?
Yeah. Stan, his question has a kind of a broader aspect.
All right, fine. Please address it.
Triggers my thinking on this. The question ultimately was, does that make Mr. Bush responsible? And I think a lot of people are looking for someone that can say, that's the person that's responsible. I don't think that's the right question, because I don't think there's any one person responsible anymore. This is a kind of a pandemic situation or an endemic situation that has settled into our society, where we turn to government at all levels to take care of us. Mr. Bush, for example, would say, oh, well, the buck stops here. We've had a lot of presidents say that. They're saying, well, I'm responsible because I'm in charge. Even though I didn't know anything about it, nobody told me about it, I'm still responsible. But nobody really takes them seriously when they say that, you know? People say, was so-and-so responsible, I think what they're asking is, did this person really intend for these results to happen? And where were they? Were they playing golf when they should have been on the job? Things like that. If that's the intent of the question, I don't think Mr. Bush is responsible, because I don't think he should have been there in the first place.
Yeah. One thing I was getting at was somebody was pulling the strings to make things go the way they did.
Yes.
And I was trying to open up the idea, open up the area of discussion.
And the thing I was saying earlier is what my message is today, that I think that FEMA and Homeland Security were pretty much following the book. They were pretty much doing what they were supposed to do. So, we created these monsters. There they are. Why are we surprised when they act in a monstrous fashion?
And I think that there are plenty of blame to go around. I think the mayor, I think the governor, I think that the FEMA, I think that they all failed, really failed, and failed miserably. And I think that where we get into trouble, as Ed says, is you try to find one person who's responsible. You can't blame George Bush for what happened there. This is all delegated responsibility. But thanks so much for calling, Mike.
Can I get one more thing real quick?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, for years...
Hold that thought till we get back. We're going to have to take a quick break here, right here at Radio Liberty.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this afternoon is Ed Griffin, just talking about the tragic events that took place down there and why FEMA would have done all of these things that would have disrupted the efforts to actually help the people, relief efforts coming from all over the country. And there was FEMA blocking the people from coming in and helping, at least in New Orleans. Now, over, certainly they weren't as, FEMA wasn't there over there in Mississippi, and things worked and worked very, very well. No thanks to FEMA. Mike, did you have one more thing before we let you go?
Yeah. After the city was flooded, we heard how for years there had been scenarios that had been developed if there ever was a hurricane like that. I think something in National Geographic and all sorts of studies and things that they were telling us about. Now, there is a similar thing out describing a possible tsunami that would hit the East Coast that would be generated from a volcanic island, I think in the Canary Islands, on the other side of the Atlantic. The name of the video is Blue Planet, and it was broadcast on PBS, I believe, or one of those stations. And it's just interesting. We should take a look at those kind of things and then see if they're telling us in advance. You know, for those who believe, I tend to believe that they're doing these things to us.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Mike, and that is they're sure scaring us to death, and there's all sorts of things out there that are manipulating our reality.
Yeah, well, like the hurricane that took the 90-degree turn.
All right.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have hit New Orleans.
Thanks very much, Mike.
Okay.
And right now, Ed, do you have a website you'd like to get out there?
Yeah, I appreciate putting that out. A moment ago, you told folks to come on Google and look me up. And that aroused my curiosity. I went on to Google and put my name in there, And I'll be surprised, I tell you, they came up with 4,900 hits. I mean, it's not 40,900 hits. So
you've got 40,000 hits?
Yeah.
40. Well, of course,
I
you know.
I believe it. 40,900.
Well, that's almost 41,000. No, Google is an amazing way of finding out what people are saying about you.
So if somebody's trying to look for my website, they have a lot of digging to do.
All right,
anyway,
well, let's give it to them.
Yes, it's freedomforceinternational.org.
That's freedomforceinternational.org. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Ed, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And maybe, Ed, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about what your idea is? Now, I've known Ed, as I said earlier, for 43 years. He's always been, one of the leaders of the movement to try to preserve our heritage for generations yet unborn. And a few years ago, he came up with an idea of something different. Rather, we've been doing the same thing for 43 years, and we keep losing. I've changed my entire thrust just trying to get on radio and educate people, but Ed has changed his thrust a great deal, too. So you tell us about Freedom Force, will you?
Well, yes, Dan. You set the stage for it pretty well. After all these years out there fighting the good fight, it dawned on me that we're losing this war. If we don't do something different than we have done in the past, we're going to continue losing the war. And so it made me think, what have we been doing in the past? What is the modus operandi? What are we doing? And I made a little list of things, and sure enough, all these years I've been running around saying, become informed, read another book, attend a seminar, join an organization, spread the word, and write your congressman. That was about it, you know? And I thought, well, if we continue advocating that, then we're going to continue losing. And then I asked myself, why is that? And the answer finally came out loud and clear. It's because we have no power. It doesn't make any difference to these people who are running things because they have the power. They don't care what we know. If all of us, if everybody in America, let's say 95% of the American people, were fully informed as to what is going on, it wouldn't make an awful lot of difference because the power centers of society, the government, the political parties, the media, the labor unions, the educational systems, that the important power centers of society are all controlled by that 5% that have power. So once that became clear in my mind, I decided that the only solution to the only way we're going to reverse this trend is for people of our point of view who value freedom, who are individualistic in their output rather than collectivistic. It's for us to acquire power. If we don't have a program to acquire power ourselves, then we are just wasting our time. And that was a very hard fact for me to swallow because all these years I've been saying, you know, get informed, spread the word, truth will ultimately prevail where enough effort is brought to bear to bring it to light. And all those little things I used to say and made me feel good. Now I realize, no, none of that is true. Our mission is to be sure we know our facts and then get hold of some of that power that makes things happen. It doesn't make any difference what we know if we don't do anything with that knowledge. And with all of that as background, I decided to create an organization with that as its mission. And that organization is Freedom Force International. We gave the website a moment ago. It's a great effort. It's been in existence now for almost 3 years. And we're still in the early growing pain stage. We now have members in 15 countries. This is an international movement. My view is that we're facing an enemy that is internationally organized. And if we don't have our forces on the same basis, we will never win. And so I made this open to people of all nations of the world. They all have similar problems in their respective countries. And our response has been very, very strong from around the world.
And I think people throughout the world do value their freedom. Perhaps they value it a lot more than the American people who always enjoyed it and never known what it was to have lived under a brutal tyranny.
Right,
like the one that's coming.
people in other countries recognize the telltale marks of tyranny a lot better than people in America, because we've never experienced it here. So yeah, we have members in all around the world, and they're coming in new all the time. We got a new member from Turkey just recently. That kind of surprised me. I never thought we'd have a member in Turkey, but now we have several members in Turkey.
And now, do you actually have a newspaper that you put out, or a magazine,
well,
or a
report? We do everything electronically, Stan. It's all on the internet, and so our members receive email communiques, and of course they can come to our website. But we don't waste any money with postage or printing pieces of paper. It's all electronic at the present time.
I think that's probably a very, very wise way to do it. Now, what happens when you join Freedom Force?
Well, the first thing is you get tied in with our communications network. We send out information all the time to our members. Of course, we send out information to people who are not members, too. A lot of information, who just want to come in and sort of poke around and see what we're up to. They can subscribe to our free service where every Friday we send out something called Unfiltered News. And that's a result of scanning all the news sources from around the world. And a lot of these things come from overseas, not from here in the United States. Sometimes we learn more about what's going on in the U.S. by reading something in the London Independent, or even the Moscow sources. We find things that are going on in the U.S. that our own leaders don't want us to know about because they're so bad. But of course, in Moscow, they think that's great news.
In fact, if it's bad in the United States, they want everybody to know about it.
They want everybody to know about it.
And here in the United States, we have five mega corporations that dominate the media: Bertelsmann, Disney, Fox, Viacom, and Time Warner, and they control just about everything the American people read, hear, see, and ultimately believe.
Yes, that's true. Well, anyway, our members do get a lot of information, and then after we have about six members in a small geographical area, then if they wish to, they can form into chapters, and that's where the fun really begins, is when you get six people on up to 30 or 60 people in a local chapter. Now they can really begin to make things happen, and they work together and to help each other become influential in the power centers of society, which I was talking about a moment ago. See, this is not just an organization to spread the word. This is not an educational organization. This is a true activist organization. We get out of our living rooms. We get away from the TV set and the computer and get out there where the people are and into their organizations and try and make our opinions and our influence felt in other organizations. It's a whole different concept.
Yeah, I think,
frankly,
it's,
I took this pretty much from the pages of our opponents, what they've done.
And really, of course, they've done such a tremendous job. In fact, this is really how I got it doing what I was doing. I belonged to an organization for many years, we both did, and the leadership said, we don't want to use television and radio, we want to use books, and that's how we're going to get people educated, is by books. And then I read Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, written back in 1972, called Between Two Ages. Brzezinski is one of the most powerful men in the world today. In fact, because of that book, he was invited to form the Trilateral Commission for David Rockefeller. And in that book, Brzezinski said, "We are going to use radio and television to control the reality of the people and, of course, accomplish our goal." And I looked and I said, "Look and see who's winning." I mean, they're using radio and television to reach people. And what are we doing? We're giving books to people that they'll never read.
The old seminars.
Yeah. We got to do something different. And that's why I do what I do, and that's why Ed does what he does. Well, let's go to Todd, who's calling from Louisiana. Hi, Todd. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
Are you in New Orleans or close there?
No, sir. I'm in northern Louisiana.
All right, fine.
But the comment I'd like to make today concerning what Mr. Griffin has just said is I agree with Mr. Griffin that we do need to acquire power, but the power that we truly need is the power of God and not worldly power. And what's going to happen is that we must have national repentance to have a national deliverance. And that's going to take repenting of our sins and going back to the God of the Bible and the Bible of God, and placing our wholehearted faith in that. And any other means really is going to end up in disaster.
In other words, you don't think we ought to do anything other than pray?
No, sir. No, sir. That's not what I'm saying. But I just believe ultimately the answer is that we must understand the big picture is that God is entering into judgment with America, that the nation has become so degenerate, even that, you know, the majority of the Christian church has become degenerate, and we must have repentance. Well, massive repentance is really our only hope, which means we need preachers. We need preachers to rise up and preach the truth, and they seem to be few and far between. But ultimately, the only power will be the power of God that will help us, and that's my comment.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Let's get Ed's response to that. And, of course, Todd, I tend to agree with you. I believe it is a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. But, Ed, how would you respond to Todd?
Well, you certainly can't disagree with that statement. That's obviously true. But I don't think it's a question of either or. I think you need both. And I think it's summed up best by the old saying, pray for potatoes, then reach for the hoe.
All right. I think that we need to do both. That's why I do what I do. But I would not disagree with you at all that, you know, if we don't have, you know, this country doesn't turn back to God, God will never again bless it again. We were a great country when we were a Christian nation. We have become a tyrannical country, increasingly tyrannical, as we've turned away from God.
If you look around the world, Stan, and you see a lot of countries that were very, very religious and very God-centered, that were taken over by tyrannical forces, and all those good people were stomped into the ground. They were killed and tortured and arrested and persecuted. It's going on right now. There are millions and millions of people in this world who are close to God, who are living in a living hell. Being close to God is good for your personal salvation. There's no question about it. But when it comes to saving your country and your family and your culture and the future of your family, you'd better take an interest in politics and in the real world also, and make sure that the Word of God and the principles of God are woven into the political and cultural fabric in which we live. Just being off there in a high tower, asking God to take care of everything, I think is one of the biggest mistakes that we can learn from history.
Right. Dr. Stan.
Go ahead, Todd.
Yes, I agree with these statements, but ultimately I guess the point that I'd like to make is that we must receive our direction on what we do, and we must be about doing whatever God tells us to do.
Amen.
But we must receive that direction in prayer. We must have God as our chief strength, our chief resource, our chief refuge, and He must direct us and He must empower us. And to do that, we must be ever aware of our weakness and our sinfulness and repent of that and have our wholehearted trust in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And He will lead us. He can use a remnant, a very small remnant, to bring about great change in America.
Amen. Thanks very much, Todd. God bless. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, we've got about 3 minutes more here. And our guest this evening has been G. Edward Griffin, and he's put together an organization called Freedom Force. And it's reaching out all across America. I remember when Ed just had this in the formative stages and then gradually building this up. How extensive is the weekend news report that you sent out, Ed?
Well, I try and keep it down to something that is chewable. The number of articles in there vary from about 16 to 22 in that range. We try and keep it under 20 because after so many, it's just too many to read, you know. This last time, I think there were 22, but the time before that, there were 17. And what we do is I personally scan the news from around the world, spend a lot of time on it, actually, just reading stuff and then throwing it away and saying, well, that's not significant, or this is not significant, paring it down. And then we try and we don't change the articles at all. We just put them up exactly as they are, but we try and do something with the headline in a very short and succinct manner to make the principles involved clear. You know, sometimes we get so bogged down in the details of a story that we forget the significance of the story. So we try and put the significance of the story into the headline. And sometimes it's pretty hard to do, to get it down to a sentence or two. But that's where we spend our time. And I'm just bowled away by the response, Dan. About a month ago, I wondered how many people really cared. You know, we do this for nothing. We do it free. And so I put a little headline at the top of one of those issues, and I said, does anybody care about this? Is anybody reading this? If you want us to continue, just respond to this email and say yes. That's all you got to do. Just put in the word yes. I was amazed. We had so many thousands of yeses that came in, and a lot of them, of course, gave us more than yes and told us that this is now their total source of news. And so anyway, we have a very strong response to it.
Well, I can recommend whatever Ed has done. As I say, I've known him for 43 years. I've read his books. We've certainly been engaged in many, many mutual projects through the years. God bless you, and thank you so very much for everything you're doing.
Well, thank
I hope
you,
we can
Stan.
Get you back on our other programs and get these ideas out far and wide.
Thank you very much, Stan.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. I hope you enjoyed our program with Ed Griffin, an old friend from many, many years ago. And then, of course, we want to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you listen to our programs and you agree that we are involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And our earlier caller, Todd from Louisiana, was talking about the spiritual battle, and he's absolutely right. And Ed was talking about the political battle, and I think he's absolutely right too, only I think that primarily we have to recognize that behind this whole move towards world government, towards creating wars and chaos, are truly demonic forces. Now, if you don't believe that there are demonic forces in the world today, you need to get the book, Blood on the Altar. You need to get the book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. And, of course, it's written by Johanna Michelson, who was a medium. She was actually a sorcerer's apprentice. She worked with a psychic healer and saw the wonderful miracles that the psychic healer could do. But all of the people ended up being demonically obsessed. And until you understand that there really is another dimension out there, and that is where the real battle is being waged, let me suggest our four-tape set on Aleister Crowley. Our four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. And then, of course, the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, telling you how the music industry really works and why some people get to be so wealthy and powerful and they are lionized here in America. It's because they've sold their souls, literally, knowingly, intentionally given their souls to the devil in return for prosperity. And we have these people working at the highest echelons of government today. But you want to see this video, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. And you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions. The videos, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. And then, of course, the new video we have put together at the Prophecy Club, quite professionally done, entitled The Planned Population Reduction. That's Planned Population Reduction. You can get it either on video or on DVD. And then, of course, we do hope many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. Certainly, listen to our radio programs there on the internet 5 hours a day. Then listen to the archive programs, pull down our newsletters. If you want to understand who it is that was working in our government and internationally to bring about this new demonic dominated world, you want to get our article. It was the June 2005 article, The Occult Hierarchy Part 2. That's The Occult Hierarchy Part 2. And if you can pull that down and copy it, if you'd like a free copy of that, we'll be glad to send you one. If you don't have access to the internet, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And as for The Occult Hierarchy Part 2, if you want to get the book we refer to there, written by a man who is part of this occult hierarchy, who has met Maitreya, the master, one of the ancients of wisdom, one of the members of the Great White Brotherhood. Why, of course, we carry the book. If we don't carry it in our regular list, but it's called Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings. Or if you want to get the writings of other Luciferians like Manly P. Hall, we do carry those. Lost Keys of Freemasonry, the Secret Teachings of All Ages, books that are hard to get. We carry them here, written by people who have an allegiance to the dark side. We want you to know what it's about, and then we hope this will strengthen your faith and that you'll join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. Remember, we're having an all-day meeting here on the 19th of November, and if you can come, you have to have a reservation because we're serving lunch. That's 1-800-544-8927. The 19th of November is Saturday, all day long, just before Thanksgiving. And then, of course, if you need the Berkey products, we do sell them. And if you get them to us, you'll get a four-tape set or a video that we've produced. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.